one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Nodcast, episode 233, Ketchup Week.
Delicious. It's on a vegetable.
That means it's good for you.
That was one of the saddest deliberations ever, where they ruled ketchup a vegetable. It's like, really? Yeah, no.
Thanks, America.
So.
Anyways.
Maybe it should be medicine for my obesity disease.
It's not much of a medicine. It won't cure jack or shit of being fat.
It's a liquid diet. A liquid supplement. Completely liquid diet. I just make a bowl of it, and that's tomato soup.
Not quite. More salt than your body has room for. It means I'll be preserved. It's like salt pork.
Salt pork.
That's why I use ketchup flavored lube. I want to salt that pork. Oh yeah. Squeal like a piggy.
Pig in a blanket.
That's what we wrap up when we're camping and fucking.
So it's been a couple weeks. We've been out on our grand adventures. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
We're horrible.
Yeah, we generally are. It has been a couple weeks since we've last done a show.
Yes, it has.
We were all, like, out of town last week, weren't we?
Nope.
No, I was here.
Yeah, so was I.
Oh.
We were just lazy.
That's right.
You were out of town.
I was out of town, and y'all were lazy. Okay, well, that's okay, because we're not exactly beholden to anybody here.
I'll be holding my dick, yo.
And since I was out of town, y'all would have had to come over and record without me.
Yes.
In my own apartment.
Which is always kind of odd.
And we would have gone through all your stuff.
Oh, man. You're going to...
things.
Looked at all your... Oh, God. Look at all this pony porn on his iMac. No, Jesus Christ.
Actually, don't have any.
Why do they all have dicks?
Oh, wait.
Except for Brayburn, for some reason. He just has three vaginas. That's really weird.
Like Cloverly pattern.
That's terrible.
It's like two I could understand. No, I can't.
It's like a bowling ball.
It's like a pony made of orifices. It's so disturbing.
I actually don't have any porn on my computer. That's why the internet exists.
This unicorn was born with an inverted horn. You could fuck it. It's magical.
Shut up, Fuzz.
And it's all ridged.
Why?
It's like a fleshlight. I can clop to this.
I imagine you could, you pervert. No. So yeah, it's been a couple weeks, and the world keeps on turning.
That's right. Yeah, just like the soap opera says.
Yeah,
as the fur sheds.
Yeah. Oh, we had to endure such things as an FA outage that lasted several days.
And, oh, God. The world.
And some furry website got hacked.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called?
Fur Rag.
Oh, Fur Rag. Yeah. That's so putting that out as a warning because we've been kind of spreading that around Twitter. If you ever had a Fur Rag account where you used the same password there as you used elsewhere, change your passwords.
So this is going to sound uninformed, but what the fuck's Fur Rag?
It's a writing website.
It's a writing-focused website started by Alex Vance, Khaki, years ago.
Okay.
When he was still Alex Vance. And it was... I don't know. I think around the time everyone was complaining that Yifstar at that time had opened up into doing not just stories.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to have a more story-focused website. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but there weren't any... only stories websites at the time. And I think he wanted to make it more review focused, where like four writers where they could get like critiques back and stuff like that.
That was actually a weird thing. I was just Googling. I was trying to find out where somebody had gone. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. So I Googled their email address, and it popped up a couple of places, and all of them were old. And it happened to pop up on a weird text-based... it was just a .txt file on this website, and it's like, what the hell is this? This looks suspect. And I'm scrolling down, and I just happen to stop, and I glance right below my finger, because it's on my phone. It's like, wait a minute, that's Sarah's name. Scroll further. There's Taryn. And it's like all these other people I know. It's like, holy crap, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
At which point I went to Twitter, and after a little bit, Khaki was like, oh crap, this is Fur Rag.
Yeah.
But I was just, I wouldn't have thought of anything other of it, except I happened to stop and notice Sarah.
And people's names you knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then closer
someone
look.
Had hacked their site and posted all the usernames and passwords.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not the passwords in plain text, but they posted the 5AA hash, whatever it's called.
Yeah, but that's pretty easy to break if you know how.
I've heard it both ways. It's interesting. I've heard, an experienced hacker could do it in 10 minutes. And then I've also heard, it would take even someone to do what they were doing months just to get one password. So... Whichever way it is, it was possible if somebody wanted to log into your Furrag account badly enough.
They're going to write nasty reviews about your favorite fan fiction.
Well, also take and try those passwords other places. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Like PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So, yeah, Furrag got hacked apparently a while back, Khaki was saying.
It was either early this month or all the way back in December of last year.
One of the two.
He had put out two different dates, and I think he was updating it as he found out more info. So, I'm not really sure. I'm not going to make any statements about it. If you go to furrag.com, he has a link to a place on the forum where he was posting updates about it.
Mm-hmm.
And their forum was a different database than their website,
mm-hmm.
kind of like FurAffinity is. So the forum was not hacked.
Oh, good.
So if you had a forum account there, then then that's okay. But it's the main site.
Hmm.
So, yeah, excitement in the furry world.
Yep.
Yep. FurAffinity going down and... It's like the end of the world for some people.
Yeah.
It's funny because it actually is, and FurAffinity recognizes this now, that it is a big deal for some people. Like, there's a lot of artists that communicate with their clientele solely through FA notes. And so FA has kind of started to put out there, not just we're going to be down on these days, but also start preparing and take precautions.
Yeah, because weren't they migrating servers?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah. But also it's like if you're about to, and I saw somebody post or tweet about this, about to sit down and do a bunch of commissions. Oh, fuck, all the commissions are references on FA. And the links to where those references are
FA.
Are FA. At least when it was read-only mode, they could go to that. But, like, if they needed a...
To pull it all down.
Yeah. If they needed a... Yeah,
I think, actually, that the servers that FA migrated to were sourced via Panther.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh.
Because I'm pretty sure his company was getting rid of some old Sun servers. And I think he got them to... Zendra, who got them to FA.
Huh.
I think that's kind of funny if that's the case, because I know they were at least Zentra got them to mm-hmm. to Nier in them, but I'm pretty sure that they were sourced via Panther. You're welcome, FA. if that was the case, because I know they were doing a migration here soon.
Yeah.
So
they were migrating some kind of thing.
Like all new servers, all sort of stuff. The things like we have sitting right there, the 4U rack mounts with ridiculous hardware.
Yeah.
Which
means what's the other component on the top here?
That's a Juniper router.
Sounds delicious.
You don't want to eat Juniper.
Well, isn't it nice and smelly? I mean, it smells good, in a good way?
But yeah. The berries are poisonous as far as I know.
Yeah. I wasn't going to eat it.
Okay. Good.
So I don't eat servers.
Yeah. It's like a... full-on, like, mega router server thing. Panther's been screwing with it and
says cursing. Whopper.
Yeah. He's been cursing at it the last couple days.
He's been at it for like the last couple, unless it's a different one.
This is
last
a different couple one. Weeks.
Oh.
All the servers.
Yep.
So I guess my only...
You could have a worse hobby, I'm sure.
Yeah, weed. Drug dealing, I don't know. Perfecting meth. So my big thing was I had my back thing done on Thursday. I got 3 shots right in the spine.
Is it helping at all yet or not? It's too soon.
It's too soon to tell. It's actually going to be like 2 or 3 days. And that was just yesterday.
So it's like Siam's one that he had done.
It's probably very similar, yeah. And it's actually a little tender right now. Like, it's not just the kind of ache I would get if I overexerted my injured back. It's like a constant kind of thing. But it's really low level. Mm-hmm. And I actually think it might all already be helping. Because, like, I would be walking where I usually walk. And at the point where I would normally start to really feel it. And it was just kind of humming along the same low-level ache that it was before. Hmm. So I actually think it may be helping. And then it'll be... So hopefully by the end of the weekend, I'll see if it's assisted at all. And then see how long it lasts. And if it lasts for, like, months and months, then that's great. I just go in and get shots every 6 months or so. If it only lasts, like, a week or two, then it's not going to work for me, and I'll have to move to the next stage, which is cauterizing the nerve endings that are being affected.
That sounds pretty serious.
Which then grow back. They're not spinal cord nerves. They're just the other little sensory nerves mm-hmm. that hook around. So those kind of nerves grow back, little bitches. So if they do that, which is actually minor back surgery, then I'll have to go back in like 2 years and have it done again. But every time they grow back, apparently for some people, they become less sensitive, so the pain is less severe each time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm taking the first step because it was getting worse.
Yeah,
and it's really slowing me down at cons where there's a lot of activity, there's a lot of running around and shit like that.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I definitely know that feel.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's me taking a first step to try to get fixed, but. Apparently it is the most common vertebrae to fuck up because it is the one right at the base of your spine that connects to your pelvic bone. Mm-hmm. And that one, that takes like all the force of you twisting left and right. It takes all the weight of the rest of your spine. And it takes all the pressure when you bend down to pick something up or load bear. So it's
the main pivot point.
Yeah. It's the most common thing. So, yeah, actually, a lot of people my age or older are like walking around with a slightly fucked up back. It just kind of happens to everybody after a point.
Yep.
We, let's see. So, you've got cons coming up, don't you?
You got a whole bunch of them.
3 in a row. So, this is going to be my last episode for 4 weeks.
Jesus.
Jeez.
Because next week is Rainforest. Week after that is Central Plains FurCon in Wichita. Week after that is Arizona FurCon in Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. The week after that is OklaCon, which I'm probably not going to be able to go to because I can't get that Friday off, and I will just be fucking exhausted. So you're going to be gone that weekend and the weekend before. Savern, are you in town the weekend of OklaCon?
Yeah, I'll be in town the weekend of OklaCon because I'm not able to go to OklaCon this year.
Okay, so you and I could do a show... OklaCon weekend, but...
Sure.
I'm going to be out, like, the 4th and the 13th. Is that the right...
Yeah.
You'll be out of town a couple weeks.
Yeah,
you so 11th. You overlap two of mine.
So, I should be back OklaCon weekend, but I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, heading up to Madison, New Hampshire.
So, for, like, 2 weeks, Sheva and I will both be gone. So either the show will take a temporary break, or Savern will have to get multiple guests.
Yes. Yeah, probably the former there.
The break.
Yeah.
Because you got Nightmare Nights coming up that you're going to have to put a lot of time into, yeah. So.
That is going to be consuming my world very soon. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But the con sounds like it's shaping up very well.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very happy to hear that. I'm looking forward to it, actually. I'm working that Friday, but I might... You can get my badge and shit all taken care of for me, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're gonna have everything pre-printed for pre-reg.
Okay, good.
It's like we've run a con before.
Yeah. Maybe you can, like give me my badge Thursday or something like that, okay. Or whenever. But I want to swing by Friday after work, check out some shit, see how you guys are doing, and then I'll attend a con Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, yeah. We've got a lot of cool stuff planned.
Yeah.
Okay. So
should go heavily into my plans of how I'm going to wine and dine one of the voice actresses. And mm-hmm. He's like, come on, baby, let's go. I'll show you how to do it horse style. Meaning Saverin's going to lead me out by the bridle because
and
if I try to do
it
myself, if I try to do it myself, I will accidentally break your hip because horses can't fucking breed naturally anymore because we've been doing it for them for so long. Saverin is going to have to take my dick and insert it into you.
I might just shoot you instead. Let's go to email. Jesus Christ.
Moving right along.
And then there's this asshole.
This one right here? That's sitting over right
so,
there?
So, hey, let's read an email.
And... So if Fuzz isn't on next week, it may not be because he's traveling. It may be because Saverin's killed him and buried him in a hole somewhere.
Oh, I still need him to print my con books. I actually need to talk to you about it after the show.
Oh, I need to do Oka cons as well. They sent me their layout.
Yeah. I'll after the show. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this one is subject a simple question.
Okay.
How do you deal with being an introvert? I am an introvert who sometimes portrays myself as an extrovert. However, whenever I've interacted with human beings for more than, like, 5 hours a day, I'm pretty much fucked for the rest of the day. Help, please? Seamus came in the sketchy genet. You explain that to people, and you don't try to... There's a couple ways you can go about it. You can try to push yourself to be more around people and push your limits... Or you can just say, like, you know, I need a quiet time. Because I know, personally, after I'm at a con, no matter if I'm working it or whatever, I take, like, the next day and I don't talk to people at all.
Yeah.
I don't even, like, some days I don't even talk.
Sometimes I hit maximum social interaction overload in the middle of a con. And that's why, like... Some nights at a con, like it'll be like Saturday night. Everyone wants to stay up late and party, and I'll be in bed by like 9 or 10, just because I'm like, you know what? I'm really tired already, and I don't see a benefit to staying awake. And I can see all these guys tomorrow.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being an introvert. There's you just have to know your limits and. Be able to communicate. It's like, I just need a little bit of quiet here.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll tell you what, at big cons like A-Con and big cons like Anthrocon,
yeah,
they're a bit too much to me after too long. Mm. I have to go somewhere quiet. It's too loud. There's too many people. And I just, like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I can go strong for a few hours, but then I hit my limit, like you say. And
recharge.
Then... I need some quiet. I need some fresh air. I need to not smell fanboy funk. You know? So, don't feel bad. I mean, that's just my opinion.
I think you probably want to work your stamina up beyond, like, 5 hours or so, though. Because, you know, it's like, if you work, like, an 8-hour shift where you're in a job where you're dealing with people, then that might be something that's a little detrimental.
Problem.
So, yeah, you might want to start pushing that up to at least 8 or 9 hours. But, yeah, it's just also socialize more. And if you socialize in, like, little bite-sized chunks consistently and maybe slowly build up the time.
Yeah.
But, you know, and people understand that other people are introverted. I mean, everyone kind of has, even the super extroverted people need some time occasionally to themselves. It happens to everybody, just at different rates.
Yeah. So.
Nothing you should feel like ashamed about or anything.
Yeah, no. For sure. So, okay. There's that email.
All right. So, do you want to go next or do you want me to?
I can. Okay. Let's see. Just a quick one. Hello, Notcasters. I'm a furry from the UK, and my boyfriend just got me into the podcast. I love them. Keep on coming. I have a question, if I may. I'm a wolf, and my boyfriend is a fox, and he's the dom. Which of us is broken?
Oh, you both are.
You're doomed.
The joke answer is you both are.
Yeah, the real answer is neither of you are broken.
Yeah.
It's all good, whatever works. Subby wolves are kind of hot, because then you call them foxes and stick your dick in their mouth.
Who's the fox now? Don't answer. You've got your mouth full.
What does the fox say?
Speaking of, we have that awful mashup.
Yes. I sent Savern a link earlier.
It's going to just destroy everything.
Yes. Okay, so Foxamore, Journey to Abbey Road. Hello, Notcast. This will be short. As a music lover, especially furry musicians, this sounded like something worthy of mention on your show. And it is linked to an Indiegogo campaign. So, Aaron, if you could paste that into the show notes.
Sure thing.
Basically, if you go to Indiegogo and search for Foxamore, it'll come up. But I'll read the rest of the description here. Foxamore is trying to make his next album, Come Find Me, have an extra special sound and the possibility of enhancements that would increase its epicness on an unprecedented scale. His original goal was to raise 7,500 euros to be able to record it at the world-famous Abbey Road Studios, used by the Beatles, Hans Zimmer, and Howard Shore. That goal was reached in one day. I think it was actually reached in like 2 hours. Mm. I remember I was watching it. It was very cool. His next goal is 15,000 euros to bring in more guest musicians to record on the album and buy more studio time. 2 days. His next goal was 20,000 to 30,000 euros to have the possibility of a live orchestra perform on the album. Fox and More Music performed by a live orchestra? Shut up and take my money. But anyway, if you can, I suggest donating to the effort to bring to the marketplace what could be one of the best accomplishments of furry music, Stratosphere Tully. And yeah, I found out about this via Fox's Twitter account.
Yeah, I was really impressed because I just saw him just bam, 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 bam. Like, wow.
He apparently underestimated his appeal, his fan base. So it's already up to 16,289 moon euros. And it still has 48 days left to go.
So this makes me happy because furry music doesn't have nearly as much appreciation as it ought to, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have this core canon, we're not building off of this particular thing or another, but there are many talented musicians who don't get the fucking proper due that the artist certainly gets. So it's cool to see Foxamore getting this kind of support, and he's got, like you said, 48 days left.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely put that in the show notes.
I think what it comes down to is, it's like, yeah, when you have something like ponies, they're writing songs that are about the characters or about the location or the world, and you can lyrically bring that across quite well, or you can remix a pre-existing song from the source material. But with a genre like furry, where it's not a specific thing like you were saying.
Yeah.
It's hard. I think it's harder for our musicians to get a foothold because it's hard to really make furry music as such. But I totally think that what we should do is just support the people who are furries who are just making good music in our fandom. Yeah, because I mean,
like, Pepper Caddy, who does Look Left, you know, their music's not necessarily furry, but he's a furry and he makes good music.
Yeah.
So,
you know, and that if your abilities are in music and you want to engage in the artistic side of our community, and you should totally do that. And you don't, not every song has to be about yap, 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 I'm a fox or you know, whatever. But
life is a furry so hard.
To see me riding furry. Buckdown song.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally support this. I think it's definitely worthwhile, and check out a lot of the other furry musicians there. There's actually a furry music group on Fur Affinity too. Yeah. That probably links to a lot of other musicians. So, your turn, Saverin.
All right. A chilling surprise.
I just got like the psycho theme in my head.
Okay, there we go. Hey, Nutcast. You asked for funny sexcapades, and I've got a comical one for you. A few years back, the girlfriend and I decided to put on a sexy show at a con for a good friend of hers who had hinted that he wanted to watch. I was agreeable, and the scene was set with me tied down spread eagle to the bed, blindfolded, the earplugs in, and a ball gag in my mouth. Or a ball gag when my mouth wasn't in use. Everything was a lot of fun, and afterwards she talked to him for a few minutes while I was still tied up. Not able to hear or see anything, my mind was running in commentary along the lines of, "That was a lot of fun. Kind of wish I knew what our voyeur looked like, but it's all good. Hope she unties me in a bit. Energy drink is catching up with me, and I'm going to have to go to the bathroom so..." Oh! At that moment, an ice-cold washcloth landed right on my junk. It was a cruel idea the two of them had cooked up and got some good surprise sort of flails out of me from the shock. And still gets chuckles out of me even now. To this day, she at times threatens me with a washcloth of dubious temperature, usually after I'm being a silly pest. Hope this got some laughs out of you, Moonshine Fox.
That's pretty great.
Oh, man.
But again, and I don't have junk.
Dick froze off.
Like I said, I don't have a dick to appreciate that, so...
Well, I imagine ice-cold cloth on your genitals, regardless of gender, would be...
I'm in a temperature play, so that sounds good.
But out of the blue, it would still take you by surprise.
Yeah.
No, it's like, temperature play can be fun, as long as I'm the one doing the playing.
So my turn again?
Let's see. Yeah.
A shitty situation. I would like to keep an honest for the time being. I have an on-topic sex story to tell, but I would like to do a bit of metaphorical dick-sucking on how much I love you guys and L-Shape. And need the podcast. I recently moved to a small town just left of Satan's asshole. The political climate is super conservative and homophobic. I may be straight, but fuck, man, that's some deep-seated hatred. After catering for the local Democratic meeting at the... in the college cafeteria, my boss sits down and claims that we don't have to worry about the Democrats because it's just full of old people and faggots. His words, not mine. And all I could think of is how he once told a story about drafted into the Vietnam War. I just want to say thank you for being a bastion of perspective and hope that human decency out there is out there and not everyone would fire me if they knew about my political beliefs. That happened to me once. Now the sexploit.
Oh, man.
I dated a girl whose favorite position was 69. So one day she lowered herself onto me while I had my eyes closed. In the middle of eating out... Oh.
Keep going.
No. Oh, God, I'm going to be sick. And in the middle of eating her out, I suddenly smelled shit. At first, I thought she was silently farting on me. Rude, but I would just shrug it off. No big deal. I opened my eyes and saw a grape-sized hunk of shit hanging from her asshole. I politely told her about it, and she ran to the bathroom and cried for half an hour. I wanted not come out until I promised I did not think of her any differently and still wanted to sleep with her. I did so without happens because, shit happens. Thank you guys for doing the podcast. I hope the girl in the story did not take my advice and start listening to the podcast because that would be awkward. An anonymous wolf.
Well, I hope that you...
Anal sex is off the table tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's a funny story that, you know...
I misread it initially as a grapefruit-sized hunk of shit. I was just like, oh my God, how do you ignore that? But grape size is a little more reasonable.
Yeah, it's like that... Well, shit happens, but that's certainly an embarrassing sexcapade.
That is really... Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man. Let's see.
Oh, fuck this. Okay, I'm going to skip that one.
Is this the one I already looked at?
I looked at one.
This one? This wall of megatext?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll reply to that one off air.
Okay. I'm going... Oh, jeez. I love an email that starts off passive-aggressive. Okay, L-shaped email. So, the last few episodes, it seems my emails have been overlooked. No, it's because you write like 2 emails an episode, and we have to give other people the time of day occasionally.
Yeah.
Slap. Someone has time on their hands. So okay. This one has 4 legs. Oh, God, dude. Period. You needed a period there, because that just made no sense. Okay, so we all know that fursuiting happens at conventions. We all know that some people go on outings for the fun of it. But I learned that some people actually participate in fundraisers, volunteer, and altogether turn it from a simple outing to a full-scale performance. Not saying that being out in a fursuit isn't a performance, but if you do something wrong while on an outing, you are really the only one accountable. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say, because I'm having difficulty saying it.
I think if you're doing something for a...
charity?
Yeah. You gotta mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah. I'm not sure if there was more context to that in one of our episodes or something. Maybe a discussion we were having?
He had asked, I think, well, earlier.
There's context further down.
Oh, okay. All right. I shall continue then. So I probably shouldn't just run up and start dancing around the Red Cross bloodline. So how do I get into the whole volunteering and suit? It seems like it'd be fun and I love helping people. And okay, do you want to hit that before I continue the rest? The next part's a different topic.
Like, the first thing I'd do is contact other fursuiters that have done this before and talk to them. Mm-hmm. Because we're not exactly the most fursuit knowledgeable podcast.
Mm-hmm. None of us suit.
None of us suit, and some of us don't really like them. So, just saying, you're going to need to go to some actual fursuiters.
So.
And I'm pretty sure that there's probably a fursuit performance group on FA.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say there's a fursuit podcast, but it's really hard to hear because they're all muffled because they're wearing the suits while they're recording.
And that one fucker has a squeaker.
Yeah.
Anywho.
Okay, so to continue. Recently, I have put forth more effort into job searching, and I have found an interesting local employment opportunity in the adult entertainment field. Gays are a pretty small population locally, and even though I don't know that I'll ever get an interview, it got me wondering, if I got an interview, do I dress sexy or professional?
The answer is always professional.
Yeah. Don't show.
Do clean cut and maybe try to go for attractive professional, but go professional.
Yeah, if it's an adult entertainment thing, I mean, I'd GQ it up, you know?
Yeah.
Get some product in the hair and, you know.
They'll see you naked soon enough if you got the job.
Nice suit, take it off.
Yeah.
Show me your
dick. But still, be polished, you know, go in.
By polished, do you mean he should shave his genitals?
Maybe.
Possibly.
So.
Get bald like a baby's backside. And now for the new topical bit, my interesting sex story. I suppose my most interesting sex story is either when I tried to have sex in a 4-cylinder Mazda pickup, really tiny cab, found it was too small, got out, and got bent over to bed, and when I came, it literally started snowing almost instantly. Yeah, sex outdoors in the winter in 28-degree weather. I don't recommend it. I don't think I've had to deal with that.
It doesn't get that cold here to really. Yeah. I've done it in the wintertime. It's chilly.
I just encourage you to get nice and close.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Share that body heat. I think we should strip down and share body heat in order to survive.
Like the 5 minutes we're here.
Or the story of how I lost my virginity. I joined high school and had no friends. Luckily, I have a bro 1 year older who already had found the nerd and RPG geek clique I joined, and thus my name became Raymond's brother. Well, shortly after I graduated, I was in a Walmart and heard this name called out. I have an error 404 memory, so I assumed I knew this trio. I got invited to play games, and I went. There was vodka, cotton candy flavor, and I had never drank more than a few beers. I got drunk so far off my ass, I was answering to my fursona's name, and only her name would get me to respond. At this time, I was bi-curious, and I was in denial over the fact that I got a boner in the locker room and thought some of the guys were cute. I started wearing my gym clothes under my regular clothes. I got really drunk, really flirty, and went back to the room with the girl whose house the party was at. We fucked, and it really wasn't that amazing moment I expected losing my virginity to be. It pretty much isn't for anybody. On a plus side, I did not come instantly like most of the stories floating around to school. Actually, I didn't come at all that night. The two guys there were both openly gay and engaged. I started fondling one of them, and they decided to take me back to the room with them. I ended up getting spit roasted, double penetrated in the tail hole, and getting them both off a total of 5 times. Like I said, I didn't come that night, but the odd thing is I did get more pleasure out of them coming than I do coming myself. Next morning, I was sore, walked funny, and was positive I am gay. Mom was angry I didn't call or that I didn't get home. She was fine with it once I told everyone I got spit roasted, had too much to drink to drive me back.
Part of that was not true. Sorry, Mom, I had a cock in my mouth. I couldn't call you.
As for the calling part, I told her the truth. I drunk dialed several people and they confiscated my phone. Eternal emailer, Legion Bunny.
Well, there you go.
Cool story, bro.
Yep.
So, you do want to answer this Tumblr?
Let's see.
It's a good one.
Yeah, okay. We'll do this one and then we'll go to our break.
Okay.
All right, so Anonymous asked a question. We like having this. Tumblr was a really good idea.
Thank you.
Thank you. What are the Notcaster's preferred methods of masturbation stimulus? Do you look at pictures / erotic fiction, watch pornographic clips on sites like XTube or YouPorn, or simply use your own fantasies? Hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's a mix. Go ahead. You're okay. Going to say something.
Still pictures don't do jack for me. I mean, I look at them, it's like, oh, that's nice, but they don't do much. Sometimes clips are okay, but I have to have sound. Mm. Sound seems to do it more than, and I prefer amateur over
professional
porn.
Mm. Oh, yeah, baby. Suck it. Oh.
Yeah. Well, that's the things that I find get me going isn't something that the professional porn industry really goes for.
Clown sex.
Oh, no, baby! Oh, no, there's plenty of that, I'm
sure.
You
like that fat cock!
And...
Oh, girl, let me show you what my flower...
I'm gonna come on your tits, don't you know?
This dick has a little red ball on the end of it. Who needs a condom when you just squeak your way through?
God. So, usually, it's gonna be erotic fiction or... fantasy.
So for me, like, if it's an image that gets me going, great. But it can't be just the image. Like, if I'm looking at 2 or 3 images, I will fantasize something to kind of go along with that. Reading a story could do it. A lot of it is the all of the above. For me, mostly it's fantasizing. Or remembering some IRL fun I had at some point. Like, I've relived a couple of fun experiences.
It's one of those things where it's like, just whatever the mood strikes.
Yeah, it varies. For you, listener, what do you like to masturbate to?
So, we have reached the midway point.
Okay.
We're going to stop and save. We're going to... commit an oral crime. Your ears may not forgive you after this.
Oh, dear.
But Shiva will find us an item from Adam and Eve. We will submit this song to your listening pleasure. And be right back.
Quack, and fish go blow, and the seal go. 여자 밤이 오면 심장이 뜨거워지는 여자 그런 반전 있는 여자 What the fuck? Open Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style. Gangnam Style.
And we're back. I hope you are still listening after this. That was a mashup of What the Fox Says with Gangnam Style.
God help us all.
Yes. What the Fox Says is, hey, sexy lady.
To be fair, what I said when I saw this, what the fuck?
What does the fox say?
That is all Lee's dialogue.
Yeah, so if you download my Division or Isolation Play, it's spoken in true fox language.
So it's nothing but
It's just yap, 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 yap. And what's really weird is in that one part where he's talking to the other fox reporter, so it's just... Yap, 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 yap,
yap, yap, yap, yap, yap,
yap, yap,
yap, yap.
You should totally release a parody version of your readings, and it's like 36 hours long.
Yap, 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 yap.
Just loop it a million times. Yeah, that's totally not. Speaking of, check it out.
They're like furry Pikachu. They just say their name or their species or their sound.
Fox.
And Dev is just tiger, tiger, football, stripes, tiger, tiger,
barbs. So, yeah, actually, Out of Position, it's on audible.com. You should totally buy yourself a copy if you want to listen to me read 12 and a half hours of
a
really good story.
Yes.
And Isolation Play will be out soon enough.
Coming soon to audible.com near you.
Yep. And then I'll be working on Divisions here before too long. So, sweet. I'm going to be reading like... Oh, shoot. No, I've already read 26 hours. I'm going to say like 30 hours. Now it's going to be like 50 hours total of these books.
Yeah.
By the time we're all done. Are you a furry author? Are you looking to get your stuff up on audible.com? Talk to me. You can contact us at notcast@foxevers.com and I'll get it. Self-promotion. And then your
characters will get it in my sexy voice.
Damn straight.
Not likely. So anyway, speaking of...
After I'm done with Divisions, there's going to be a gap between the next Out of Position book, so I will be doing some other books.
Maybe we can find a straight one for you. And then the vagina said, oh, dun, 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 dun. What the vag say?
Snap, snap, snap.
Anyway, this week on Adam and Eve.
That's what the vag say.
Stop.
Are you done? Are you sure?
Maybe.
Okay, so this week we're going to be helping you fap. This week it's a Pure Original Eros Body Glide. Now, Pure is P-J-U-R. It's not pure. Sure. As it's like pajure. It's a silicone lube.
Because that's how we spell in the hood.
It is super slick, super smooth. It's really, really nice materials. It's silicone. So it is not silicone's toy safe. This will melt your toys. Don't use it on silicone toys.
Unless you want melted toys.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So don't do that, kids.
It's good for, you know, using it on yourself. It's good for with a partner. It's pretty odorless, and I can't smell it. So, I've used it. It's really, really nice. Let's see. It's got quite a few really positive reviews. It's $22.95 for a 100ml bottle, but we've got that fun thing called a coupon code, and it's KN, no T, not. It'll get you free shipping and half off of a item. In this case, it takes it down from $22.95 to $11.48 and free shipping.
What a bargain!
Yes.
Yay!
So fat yes.
Juice.
Pure.
No, fap juice is the result of using the pure.
So I would, it's a good deal, at least compared to what I see this go for most other places. So.
Yeah, like a retail store. I mean, that shit goes for like $30.
Not that much, but it's decent. So there you go. That's our recommendation for the week from Adam and Eve.
Huzzah.
Yeah.
So we have a few emails left. We might get out of here before 11 p.m.
Lies.
Probably. Okay, so
we have a wall of text of Con Report, which I will not be reading because we'll be here all goddamn night.
So check out what my tablet's doing. Like, the text is going jittering up and down on the page.
That's weird.
Yeah.
It's to make it more challenging to read.
I guess.
Let me see. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's like tapping the link is now a moving target.
Yeah, I'm just going to relaunch the program. So anyways, yeah, that stopped it.
Okay, whose turn is it?
I read the last email, so it's your turn, Fez.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
It is now.
Okay, do you want me to do the con report then?
Might as well.
Okay. Euroference 19 con report. This year was the last year the Euroference convention would be held in the Maritim Hotel in Magdeburg. Magdeburg? Yeah, I guess so. And my third year in a row attending. Next year, they will be moving to Berlin in a larger hotel.
That was really loud.
Yes.
Awesome. The move is probably because of the growth of attendees the last few years. The convention has had to use overflow hotels for 2 years just to accommodate everyone that wanted to attend. This year, Euroferds had 1,376 attendees, and a whole bunch of them were fursuiters. Although I do not have a number of the fursuiters, I would guess more than 5 divided by 600. 5 600ths of a... He probably means 5 out of every 600, maybe.
That wouldn't be very many at all.
Seems an... it seems an oddly random calculation. Euroferns broke their record this year with raising 19,307 euros, or $25,443 for their charity.
That's a lot of Ameribucks.
How about that? The organization even had some photo shoots at a con with live animals, Americans, raccoons, etc. Check-in and stuff went easy this year for me as I arrived very early on the early arrival day. Got my room, got unpacked, and went to the store to get some bare essentials for the week. Then I went back to my room and started dressing up in my fursuit to surprise the rest of the Norwegians that arrived a few hours after me by bus from Berlin. It was quite fun to stand outside waving at the bus when it arrived. I saw many people waving back and got more hugs than I can count when they had got their bags off the bus. Euroferns to me has been a con to go to meet friends and just enjoy a week with vacation. The first year I was running around like crazy trying to attend as many panels as possible, while now I don't really attend more than maybe one or two panels through the convention. They did have a panel giving a demo of the Oculus Rift glasses, and I was in there for a few minutes with a couple of friends. Do you guys know what the Oculus Rift glasses are?
Yes.
Those are really freaking cool. It's a VR headset that's a lot better than, you know, the shit everybody remembers from, like, the 90s.
Better than a Virtual Boy?
Oh, yeah. Basically, it uses 2 high-resolution monitors really, really close to your face.
Uh-huh.
And gives you 3D vision. And it has...
I already see in 3D.
But in video games.
Oh, okay.
And they've already developed, like, sex apps for this. Just it's already there. But it gives you full, like, rotation of your head. You can turn your head and look to the right and left, up and down.
Uh-huh.
And...
It's like looking around.
Yeah, and so, like, you can...
Cool.
You can... They've done a couple of, like, space... There's going to be a game called Eve Valkyrie that is a Starfighter game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a deathmatch style where...
You have been selected.
Yes. You have been selected, and you can move your ship and look around independent of your ship's
direct orientation. So it's kind of VR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the whole point of it.
Cool. Like the way it was in the 90s when the Lawnmower Man came out.
Yes. But with less checkerboard floors.
Ah. But I like checkerboard floors. Okay, I'll continue with the email. I had just not heard of those before, so thank you for providing some insight. Yeah, they're really
cool. Once they hit commercial production, I'm getting one.
Cool. Do you know how much they're going to run?
Like $300.
It's not bad, really.
Nope.
Excuse me. You think the major game studios are going to develop for them then? Okay.
Yeah, there's already studios that are developing support for it.
Oh, cool.
Like, people have, like, dev kits, and they've developed versions where you can play, like, Team Fortress 2, and there's a couple of, like, you know, the aforementioned sex, where, like, you get to interact
there's in tits a, everywhere I look!
A 3D environment full of naked women and or men, and you can pretend you're doing
it's
shit.
It's like the panic room with the penguin bees.
And there's, like, some real morbid proof of concept one, like, where, it's just, you get put into a guillotine and executed, and it causes all
kinds of... Oh, and it rolls around,
it really fucks with your head. It's really neat stuff, conceptually.
Wow.
And it's not gonna be, like, the total future, but I can see it getting a lot of implementation.
Neato. Okay, cool. And I was in there for a few minutes with a couple of friends. Other than that, the only other thing I attended was the Motorfurs meet. I will say one thing, though.
Vroom, vroom.
I'm a raccoon and this feels great. Eurofarts is Waiting Con. Main stage events are usually delayed by at least 30 to 60 minutes, and this year was no different. Even though I didn't attend any main stage events, I could see the people in the lobby just waiting to get in. The good thing is you can watch all the main stage events on Eurofarts' own TV channel that shows in the hotel. Excuse me again, sorry. I did get the one thing I really wanted to get from the dealer's den, and that was the book Divisions by Kyle Gold. Other than buying that book and an extra con t-shirt coming soon to audible.com, I didn't spend any more money either in the den or at the art show, although I was outbid on a couple of pictures, also available in ebook at baddogbooks.com. Food-wise, Madgeburg has a great bunch of restaurants to offer, and I found a couple of new ones this year that I really enjoyed. I guess that's typical when it's the last time you visit a place. This is what saddens me a bit about leaving Madgeburg. Even if some of the people in the city almost refuse to speak or understand English, man, fucking Germans in a foreign country refusing to speak English.
What jerks?
Goddamn foreigners.
Don't they know that English is the only language? I mean, it's good enough for Jesus. It's good enough for you.
Yes. The city is very welcoming. The city is very welcoming and easy to navigate in. All in all, a very nice place to have a con. For me, the most fun part of the whole con and the reason for me going there was to meet up with a few friends that I can't meet otherwise. These few people made the con a really great and fun experience for me this year. If it wasn't for them, I probably would have had a miserable time. The second reason for going this year was that my fursuit arrived in the mail just a few days before the con. A huge thank you to Templa that made my suit. It was really awesome. Check out TemplaCreations.com. Also, a thank you to those few people who hung out with me and spent time with me during the con. You know who you are, and you made it all worth it. Just for the cast of CM, attaching two FA link with a picture of the suit. You can see there why I was amazed and lost for words when it arrived. The quality of the work is just amazing. Links. Thank you for a wonderful con, and also thanks to you guys and the Notcast crew that kept my ears and mind busy in the travels down to and in Germany.
Wow, that is a really nice suit.
So glad I have a lot of your episodes on my phone. Kind regards from Norway, Loke.
Those fox suits are really nice, too.
I mean, now that I've done reading, I can click on it.
It's always kind of like the one that's two to the, like, the one next to the blue fox, I'm like, that's kind of a hot-looking suit. And there's probably a dude inside. And, like, the really pretty yellow thing with the blue eyes, this one, probably a dude. But I'm like,
it's still a really
that's a nice-looking suit. She's pretty. Probably a dude.
It doesn't matter. It's still pretty.
It doesn't matter to me, really. But it's one of those things where it's like,
it's all pink in the dark.
It's a trap.
See, I'm not sure what your toonie suit with large.
This one here.
Oh yeah.
And then I was like, this one's pretty too. I've seen the.
Oh yeah.
This yep. Did you look at this one on the webpage? That cat one.
Yeah, that's the head I've seen around. So yeah. Anyways, we're looking at FA and. Talking about images that I'll put links in the show notes for you.
Okay.
Because I figure we're talking about a dude's fursuit and
there's no pictures.
There's no pictures.
So.
That's a neat looking critter.
So, that's cool. Glad that you had a good time and we'll,
I totally wish y'all could see the pictures that we're looking at.
Well, show notes.
So, yeah. Shiva.
All right.
Pick an email.
Let me get back to the email. I'm looking at cool suits.
Yes.
I'll just keep going down. Barbecue and Russia.
This one's really long, too.
Yeah, I'll do my best. Hi, Savern, Shiva, and Fuzzwolf. Two-parter from me this week. First, I'd like to give a shout-out to Fuzzy D and the rest of the Nova Scotia furry community for their annual event, Oh My God, What the Fuck, BBQ, the 9th edition of the annual Halifax Furry Meetup / Barbecue. There are about 70 attendees and 20 suits in attendance, and a decent turnout from the neighboring New Brunswick and Prince Edward Island. On top of thanking the organizers for putting everything together running a successful barbecue, I also like to note the location, the York Redoubt. It was absolutely stunning, and it provided plenty of shade, a great view of both Halifax and the Atlantic Ocean.
Sounds cool.
Secondly, regarding the Russian Gate propaganda law and the Sochi 2014 Olympics, there are a few things I'd like to address about your opening from last week. Moving the Olympics to Finland or something is not actually something that's feasible, because both Finland is a terrible place to host the Winter Olympics due to lack of mountains that can host alpine skiing.
Also, and the fact that it's Finland in the winter.
Mm-hmm. Well, you need... Yeah. And because moving the Olympics 6 months out is essentially impossible. The Olympics have only been moved once in 1976 from Denver to Innsbruck, which also hosted in 1968. With over 3 years to spare, and in an era where the Winter Games were less than half the size they currently are. Even moving to Vancouver would not be possible in that time frame, as the athlete village and the venues for curling and speed skating have been retrofitted can no longer take on those roles, not to mention that thousands of volunteers need to be recruited and trained. It normally takes 7 years to get ready to host the Olympics. Sochi was awarded the Games in 2007, so getting a replacement ready to host by 2016, 2 years behind schedule, would be quite a coup in and of itself. It's also worth remembering that the last time U.S. hosted either the Summer Olympics, Atlanta in 1996, or the Winter Olympics, Salt Lake City in 2002, the host state was in a city that was still actively enforced anti-sodomy laws, and in both cases, those games were hosted after Russia legalized homosexuality in 1993. It's also worth remembering the lack of success that Olympic boycotts, and not even boycotts of the Olympic Games, but boycotts of the IOC's real cash cow, the Summer Olympics. 1976's boycott did not stop apartheid. 1980's boycott did not stop the USSR's invasion of Afghanistan. And the 1984's boycott did nothing to make the West feel bad about the 1980 boycott. Ultimately, the 1976 boycott did not hurt New Zealand or South Africa or the sport of rugby, or Canada for that matter. The 1980 did not hurt Russia, and the 1984 boycott did not hurt the U.S. Arguably, all the boycott of the Sochi Olympics would do would rile up both anti-LGBT and anti-Occidental sentiments in Russia, and make it easier for Putin to win re-election in 2016. Not that he won't quote-unquote win re-election either way. If the U.S. want to do something for gay rights, it should probably focus on North American countries such as Belize. That's South American. It is on our continent string, but it's not North America. Dominica, 10 years in jail or committed to a hospital. Jamaica, 10 years of hard labor. Or on its allies, there's plenty of control over, such as Afghanistan, death penalty. Saudi Arabia, death penalty. And Qatar, 5 years in jail. The country that will, for inexplicable reasons, host the 2022 FIFA World Cup. Russia likes to do whatever the U.S. doesn't want to do, see Snowden in Syria. Vocal protests from the U.S. and other Western countries risking reinforcing to Russian politicians that they are fighting the good fight against imperialism. Keep up the good work near the Canadian Bichon Frise. I mean, it's very well written. I don't know. I haven't read it to countersource it, but at least it was well written and seemed well researched.
I'm just going to be, going to have to check my privilege after this, but generally, we consider Russia a first world country that treats their people humanely. Not that they have a history of doing that. Not that we necessarily do either, in a lot of cases. Whereas most of these other countries, most Americans view as kind of third world shitholes. Mm. And they don't expect proper treatment of minorities there.
Mm.
This is just the general sentiment that I would expect. But yes, I do agree that boycotting the Olympics ain't going to do fuck all. I mean, I don't pay attention to the Olympics. I think it's cool that America does really well usually. But I don't...
I'm kind of meh.
I don't really care. I think Russia's acting like...
cunts.
Like cunts. But, I don't have any stake in the Olympics. So I'm not boycotting it out of, I'm just not going to watch it because I don't care.
Yeah, well, at the same time, they're saying they're going to deport Olympic athletes that are gay or gay-friendly and shit like that.
Acting like evil cunts.
Yeah. I thought Russia was more advanced than this, I guess.
Yeah,
I
had that's the thing.
I had not realized how backwards the country is overall in certain areas of civil liberties and stuff like that. And it's really kind of sad. There's a few journals out there on FA where you see, and they actually did an article on this on Flara about the Russian furries' attitudes towards homosexuality. And on that and on one of Rukus's journals about it, a bunch of Russian furs were speaking up and they were saying, hang on a sec, I'm roboting again there. It's just Russian mentality. That stuff shouldn't be out in the open. It shouldn't be known to anybody. But, you know, and it's just, even like the furries that are, I guess, probably a little more liberal in comparison are still, like, super conservative about this. And it's just, so, I don't know, just fuck them. I have no desire
don't fuck them.
Yeah, I have no desire to have anything to do.
Yeah. And Russians ruined online games, so.
Did it? Yeah.
Why?
They're like Brazilians.
Oh, huh? Okay. See, I don't know anything about the gaming community, so.
Basically, they're generally crazy. And
I'm a bad.
Yeah, they're pretty much bad news if they show up on your servers.
Huh. I mean, I
they're a bunch of real assholes in Eve, too.
Wow, we sound really,
really jingoistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, the whole, you know, the whole thing about
I've got Russian customers, and that's cool, and I feel bad for them now, knowing more what I know about how it is to be gay in Russia.
Oh, it's fucked up and awful.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's ridiculous that this is even happening in 2013.
Yeah.
But it's not like Russia has a really good human rights record.
Yeah.
Well,
You know, the shit that they're... And what's really fucked up, though, is really, really fucked up, is that religious conservatives in the U.S. are like, fuck yeah, Russia, woo! Over the anti-gay stuff.
Yeah.
That's because they're cunts.
Yeah. You know, if they want to go to Russia or Somalia or something, then they can feel free to get the fuck out of this country and...
Yeah.
Leave it as the Sodom and Gomorrah that it should be.
Yep. We're still waiting on that meteor strike, anyway.
Sodomy. Enjoy the act of sodomy.
So now we've pissed off all three of our Russian listeners. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of our
Brazilian
listeners. Belizean or Jamaican or Afghan, Saudi Arabian? Qatari. But then again, this is just the American sentiment. It's like Russia is supposed to be first world. These other countries, well, most people can't find them on maps. So
I think Qatar is down. Fuck. I think Qatar is down there by Rand McNally.
Yes. It's actually on the peninsula that includes Saudi Arabia.
I don't know why you're suddenly going robot.
Well, so it's all of our stuff got mixed up this week, so this might be either the mic or the cable that you had like 2 weeks ago when
that was going robot.
When it was going robot, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, subject. Adventure time. Hey, Knockcasters, it's Mateus, the bunny from New Mexico. I was just writing in to get your opinions on insert controversial topic here. Okay, so I'm actually sending you guys just a random con report from RMFC 2013.
Oh, cool.
My con experience has been ongoing since about mid-March when my mate began working on this year's con book. He's very proud of his design and printing capability, and he made it a point to try and get the finished product printed locally. It became an amusing little game. The con chair would find some reason to print online, and my mate would get quotes from around the Denver area for a much better price. Anyways, he had been pulling out his fur for several months dealing with his picky con staff, last-minute changes, and a decided lack of content. Seriously, furs, send in your art stories. Living in New Mexico, RMFC is basically our local furry con. We've gone for the last 3 years and counting, alternating between driving, flying, and carpooling. This year, we decided to load up on a minivan belonging to one of our fur friends and drive there. It really only takes about seven hours, if you have a bunny driving, and the views from New Mexico to Colorado are not only quirky, but often breathtaking.
Bunnies have heavier feet, so they drive faster.
Yes. Ah, the Denver Doubletree. It was a familiar sight that lifted my spirits the moment I saw it, towering above Denver's crazy donut-shaped freeway. I can't tell you how much I'd been looking forward to a free vacation, if for no other reason, because it was 5 days of not working. We checked in, grabbed our pre-reg badges, and nestled into our room on the party floor. This was going to be a great con. It started a bit slow, as many small cons often do, but very quickly picked up. I grabbed a quick breakfast, hit the gym, then headed over to the otter panel, which was cleverly held in the hotel pool. Most of the people who showed up were, ironically, not actual sea bunnies. It was still a blast, and I got to meet some really cool folks. After drying off a bit, there was a panel about comics being hosted by a big name among the transformation community, followed by another comic thesis from To the Ranting Griffin. He gets a gold star. Finally, that evening, there was an intro to Ferroticon event. Not sure how many people have heard of this game, but it's basically it amounts to a furry TCG along the lines of Magic the Gathering, only with a glorious amount of yiffing. Around here we call it Magic the Dickening. Although I have played the game before, and even submit art for one of the cards, I posed as a newbie to help some of the beginner players through their first matches. It was a lot of fun, and when I met back with the group of guys and girls I hung out with, they mentioned that they bought starter decks of varying genders from the dealer's room. One player was content to sit behind an unassailable wall of tips, while another was playing the hyper-aggressive wolves. I took a shot with the otter deck, and which featured a flotilla of twinkish lutra who start off weak, but wind up an engine of self-healing treachery. Other notable events included the art jam. Very rarely do I get to hang out with a bunch of other artists and just draw. It was an incredible feeling. There's just so much creative energy and angst in the air, and hey, I got a few cool sketches. I also think I may have intimidated a few folks who were browsing through my personal sketchbook. Totally not my intention. Next year, I think I'll pass around sketchbooks that don't have any of my own stuff in them, so that doesn't happen again. The game room this year worked out well, and whenever the con slowed down, it was a great place to kill some time. I'm a huge fan of Super Smash Bros., and found it easy to lose a few hours just brawling and hanging out with other furs. Being on the party floor, we randomly decided to host a small room party. It was fun, and there was much booze and sketching to be had. Being a bit of a flirt, I bounced from one fur to the other, getting them nice and riled up before mysteriously disappearing. After closing ceremonies, my mate and I were invited to the staff party up in the suite. We got to hang out with Soren and Rocky while watching To the Ranting One vibrantly curse at the DJ Hero game. Overall, I'd say it was an awesome con. Maybe someday we shall attend Anthrocon, or at least FC, just to know what one of those big cons is like. Thanks for letting me rant, and keep vigorously thrusting those knots into my ears. After all, I'm a bunny, and that's what they're there for. Smiley face. Mateus.
Can we change the episode title to Unassailable Wall of Tits?
Why not?
I'll fix it in post.
Yay! Okay, I guess I'll get the last one then. Okay. Hi, Notcast. Hey, Notcast. It's a friendly Central California fox writing in again after a few years with a question. I am gay and in a long-distance/long-term relationship with my mate of over a year now. And because of college and money tightness, we must stay apart for a while longer. So my mate, who understands my sexual needs, my natural heat, my watermeloniness, has allowed me to play around with people where I live. And here comes the question. I have a good friend here who sexually identifies himself as straight and has never touched another guy in that sort of way.
Sure.
He and I sometimes will sleep close to each other or cuddle sometimes. Turn the lights down low. A couple of more drunken nights have included some fondling, but that is all. He also seems to be far more open to male contact when one of his girlfriends is also a part of the cuddle. I was wondering how I should go about talking to him about his real feelings on this interaction, to explain to him how much he really wants the deep dick, to see if he really wants to play, or if I could help him get over any first-time anxieties or his own sexual battles inside his head. Perhaps coming all over my tight young buns would make him feel better about being the gay. I'm just looking for advice on how we could talk to each other so that we can be more clear with each other, clear like the lube that he will stick in my ass. and tell each other what we want. The dicking. Thank you for any help you can provide, Zorro. I mean, Kettlefox.
You are now Spanish and or Mexican.
Or si. Both.
You are Antonio Banderas.
Yes.
I'm going to leave a Z on your ass with my cum.
That mental image. Oh.
So,
thank you.
Before they get forgotten.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
It's a touchy subject.
Literally.
It certainly is.
You can always, you know, talk to the girlfriend and talk to him. I mean, if you're doing cuddle stuff with both of them, perhaps you could get him opened up to the idea of a threesome.
Blindfold him, make him guess whose mouth it is.
Sure. That's an idea. It's one of those things that you just, I wouldn't necessarily just directly be like, yo, you want to fuck? But, you know, try to gauge, you know, if he's interested in possibly experimenting. He's got a girlfriend. He's straight enough. But so spaghetti when you tell you heat it up.
There's nothing wrong with a bro job.
That's right.
It doesn't make you bromosexual.
So, communication. And if you're already cuddling with both of them, it's not that much more to see if you want to do anything further. I don't know about how the girlfriend feels about this.
If she's cuddling with them already and there's been some groping, you know, she might be down for it. I don't know.
Doesn't hurt to ask.
You know, you could always double team her and see if you can make your dicks meet in the middle, and then to be like, they're touching. Because women are totally just a tube leading from the mouth to the vagina. Oh, so I don't know.
Like
they're like citrus. Yeah, totally.
Fucking thanks, guys.
Citrus are just a tube from the mouth to the... Is that one impaled by like a fucking lance?
I don't think I've seen this.
Yeah, it was this image, and they're like, don't worry, citrus are just a straight tube in the middle, and he's perfectly fine. It's just a lance, like a big old jousting lance, straight through a citra, and like, oh god, I don't even remember where I saw this image. It was on FA ages ago.
Oh my god.
And I thought it was really fucked up at the time.
Right.
Because it is.
So, well, now you have an idea of what Savrin faps too.
Mm-hmm. No, I no.
Oh yeah, kill that little fucker! Oh.
Yes, I like it when my fursona species is murdered. That makes lots of sense. So, didn't you know I'm into snuff?
Yes, and the thing a lot of people don't know is that citra blood will burn through anything. It's citra acid.
So never puncture citra.
That's right. Don't wear those extra pointy condoms.
Yeah.
Be careful if you're a tiger. Barbs, barbs, football, football.
Stripes. So, yeah, there's that. What do you say? Anything else?
Pikachu. I didn't say it
about the email.
Oh, oh. You...
Cat, no, chicat. L. L.
Couch, couch. Yeah, I'd say, you know, I think we kind of covered it. Savrin covered a lot of the ground there. Just the three of you are already cuddling. You may just kind of want to see where nature takes its course one night.
Because I've cuddled straight guys, and it ended up with his mouth on my cock, so... Yeah, he was heteroflexible.
Yeah, that does happen.
That was a long time ago, but still.
Okay. And, you know, you might conspire with the girlfriend. Some girls think it's hot to see two guys going together, especially if one of them is their boyfriend.
You find out she's really big into yaoi.
Oh my god, it's so cute when they fuck!
Just as long as you give him back, right?
Right, yes. So what Shiva handed me earlier is something that I brought over for everybody to look at. So I'm going to pimp a couple of my upcoming releases. Oh, that reminds me. So Rainforest is next weekend.
Holy shit.
Yes. Holy shit. So Tieren Buck and I are flying out of Dallas early Thursday morning, like 7:30 in the morning or something like that. We arrive just before 10 a.m. local time. Fur Planet is totally a guest of honor this year, and we're like, ah! And I did my list of panels, and I've got like four panels, the GOH dinner, and something else.
Congrats.
It's like five panels and the dinner. Yeah. So we're all going to be really busy this con, and they're really looking forward to it. We got like five new releases. I'm holding two of them. Coffee Stains Volume 2, Caffeinated Boogaloo, which is a new art book by Cat-Ath.
I can vouch to this.
Follow up to Coffee Stains 1. And Cat-Ath's girlfriend's first art book, Kaylee, has Kaylee's Private Studio. They both draw males and females, a variety of gay and straight material. You may be familiar with Kaylee's work if you've seen Forbidden Planet or The Princess Pawn, where those were actually cooperative projects between the two of them. So we'll have those. We're having a new book by Phil Goish, which should be a familiar name to a lot of furries. Another bunny book, kind of post-apocalyptic. Mm-hmm. We are also releasing the Rainforest 2013 anthology, which I mentioned this before. Every year, Rainforest puts together an anthology where all the profits for it go to the whatever the charity is that year, and they change charities each year. So this is the third one we've done. Looks really good. And we also have a new volume of Gene Catlow, which we released Volume 1 earlier this year. Now Sweet. We're releasing Volume 2. So, you know, we have a handful of new things. Come and see us in the dealer's room. We got two tables next to Sofa Wolf and Blotch. So we will, again, have our little corner of awesome. On the other side of us is, like, Rukus and Myenia and Sidian. Actually, not Myenia. Scratch that. She's going to be at Arizona. But Rukus and Sidian and somebody else who is also cool. I've forgotten. The layout of the dealer's room. So, yeah, if you're going to Rainforest, totally come and see us and buy some stuff. We'll be putting
it's good stuff.
Yeah, I can totally fap to this.
That's right.
And will again. So, yeah, I'm just going to throw that on there since I happen to have those in my hand right now.
You brought your proofs.
Yep.
Okay.
So, next week, are you in town, Shiva?
Yeah, I'm in town next week. I'm not in town the week after that.
Maybe we can get Sarah or Kyo to come on, or Avery.
Okay.
We'll get somebody to come on, and,
tie them down.
Sure.
Then maybe just take a couple weeks off for the week that both Shiva and I are out.
If both Fuzz and Shiva are out, I'm really not keen to do a solo show. So there may be a gap where we just don't do a couple shows, and that's unfortunate, but
it's silly.
Yeah.
They're both going to be well out of the state.
Yeah. So let me just throw out there a couple more things about cons, because the other two cons I'm going to after Rainforest are both first-year conventions. So, and I give them a little highlight, is a week after Rainforest, I'm going to Central Plains FurCon, which is in Wichita, Kansas.
Yep.
So, hey, if you're in that area and been waiting for a furry con, there you go. It's about a five-hour drive from Dallas. I'm riding
straight
up there.
Straight up 35.
Straight up 35. Should be super easy. I'm riding up there with Keo, and our friend Guardian is going to be sharing a room with us.
Sweet.
So, you know, that's already... I've got a few when Rahada is going as well.
Oh, cool.
So I've already got like three other people I know that I can hang out with. And, you know, if you guys want to see any of us, you know, we'll totally be at the con. Mm-hmm. I'll be mostly in the dealer's room again, as usual, but I might try to get out.
It makes you easy to find.
It does make me easy to find, yeah. And then the week after that, in Scottsdale, Arizona, is the first Arizona Fur Con, which Fur Planet is also a guest of honor at that con, which I'm super chuffed about, because mm-hmm. it really That one really took me by surprise because it was like we were already kind of bowled over with the rainforest thing.
And now this.
And now this. And it's like, oh, my God. And it's a first-year con, and, like, they really want to do a good job and everything. So, and that's another area of the country that hasn't really had a furry con.
All the first-shooters go there and die.
I don't think I've ever heard of one in Arizona. I know there's been a couple attempts in New Mexico, but, you know, and that's a fair distance from Dallas. So. Yes. You know, if they had to come all the way out here, which we do have some folks that do. So, yep, if you're in that area, I believe Arizona FurCon is still open for pre-regs, but it closes real soon. Mm-hmm. So you should probably totally check that out. After that, I'm not going to Midwest Fur Fest. I usually don't because I usually run out of vacation time by then. But Tiernan and Buck are going. They will have the Fur Planet table. Sofa Wolf doesn't have a table there this year, mm-hmm. so we're going to be representing Sofa Wolf as well. And one of their team, Tempo, is going to be working with us behind the table.
Oh, nice.
So we'll have Sofa Wolf stuff on our tables as well.
And Sofa Wolf combined.
Yes. So if you're going to Midwest Fur Fest and you're looking to pick up some Fur Planet or Sofa Wolf stuff, you can get it all one-stop shopping there.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have everything there. So that'll be pretty cool. I won't be there, but, you know, go see those guys. Go buy Tara and a drink. I'm sure I'll appreciate it.
Yep.
Oh, and one of the panels that is going on at Rainforest is one that Buck is doing with Kyle and a third person who...
A writing panel?
Is knowledgeable. Yeah. It is specifically professional editing. And it's kind of like how to interact with an editor when you're at that story, at that point in your story's publication, you know. Buck is the editor of the Roar series, so he has to go through lots of submissions, select the ones that he wants to work with. You know, sort them into whether they're rejected, accepted, but they need some work, you know, things like that. So for those of you looking to kind of get your name out there and getting stories in a few anthologies and stuff like that, you should totally check out that panel. And I know there's a couple of folks that are trying to record a lot of the writing track panels at Rainforest this year. So hopefully some of the stuff will be available after the con.
Yeah.
And if it is, we'll throw some links up or whatever.
Oh, cool. So. We might have some people interested in doing that for us for next Ray Fiesta.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yep.
So, you guys have like a one cool thing this week?
No, we'll continue. Not really.
You don't want to talk about that exsanguination fetish that I heard about on another podcast recently?
No.
No? Okay.
Blood.
So much blood. I heard a cool thing on the radio.
What's that?
It was a cool story. This was a... I'm trying to remember the restaurant and not fuck it up. I think it was a Dairy Queen.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy is 19 years old. He's a store manager. And he was assisting one of their regulars, who was an older guy who's visually impaired. And the guy paid for his food, dropped a 20 on the floor by accident. Didn't see it, obviously, and went and took his burger and sat down. And the manager was just about to grab the 20 to bring back to him when this lady, who had been next in line, picked it up and stuffed it into her purse.
Mm-hmm.
And was clearly not intending to give it back to him. And the manager was like, excuse me, that belongs to him. She's like, no, it's mine now. And the guy tried to insist that she give it back. And then basically he took his stand and said, you're not welcome in here.
Get out.
I'm asking you to leave the store. And she apparently raised holy hell and everything like that, as yelling and swearing and all that stuff. And so she left. The guy took 20 out of his own pocket and gave it to the guy and said, you know, on behalf of me and of Dairy Queen, you know, I want you to have this. Well, the story got out, and it actually got that a letter was sent up to their corporate office. So this guy has heard from, like, all these bigwigs in Dairy Queen. Lots of people have been donating money and everything like that. And the ultimate owner of this chain is Warren Buffett.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yeah. Guy got a phone call from Warren Buffett. Basically, just sort of a feather in the cap of, good job, dude.
You know, I think you handle that well. We don't need customers like her.
Yeah, that's the right kind of attitude you want on your business, you know? Yeah. So I just thought that was a cool story because fuck that lady who's literally stealing from a blind man, you know, and nobody else saw her way either, you know, because all the customers were like, you're totally down with helping out and everything. Mm-hmm. So that was the feel-good story I heard on NPR after listening to all the political bullshit, which kind of got me down. And then I heard that, and that kind of like, picked me up a little.
And after the story, puppies with cancer.
I'm Ira Glass.
All right. Well, that about wraps it up for this week. It's
8 o'clock.
That's almost 11 o'clock again.
Hey, it's we're kind of on time.
That's, I know, right? That's cool. If you want, you can follow us on FA at Knotcast, on Twitter at Knotcast, at Tumblr at Knotcast.
At LiveJournal at Knotcast.
Yeah, we don't use that anymore. LiveJournal's dead.
it's very important to the Russians. It's the only freedom they have, actually.
That's why I'm good
for blood in America. Everywhere, so no we're Knotcast.
You can email us at knotcast@foxstuffers.com. We record generally every week. Unless we don't. if you send us an email, odds are we will read it. Unless we don't. If you email us more than once a week, we tend to read one of them.
Yes.
Other than that, adamandeve.com, coupon code NOT, saves you some money, brings in some money for the show, and helps us, well, we're going to need to replace an XLR cable because apparently one of them has gone bad.
Because we're robots.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on that next tech to come in, because that'll be, we'll have to be doing some upgrades and replacements and stuff.
Yeah.
Because we've only had this equipment sound like for, a like, robot 5 years.
Transform and roll out.
All right, so, on that note.
Good night.
And big balls.